And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
And now, Michael Moore's America. Here again is your host, filmmaker Michael Moore. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Moore, and this is Michael Moore's America. Tonight I'd like to address a lingering question and a very nagging question on why I did not include my interview of Nicholas Berg in my film Fahrenheit 9/11. Nicholas Berg, you may recall, was the very first American beheaded in Iraq by Al-Qaeda. Well, I will tell you, I didn't include the Nicholas Berg interview in my movie because Nicholas Berg was making very pro-American statements in that interview. In other words, he was telling the truth. And as such, well, it had no place in my film. Now then, you may ask yourself, why did I then say publicly that I kept it out of the film out of sensitivity to the family? Well, I said that because it makes me look like a sensitive guy. And a man whose only real concern is the truth. And also, how to get to the American public. Well, it was all playing very, very well until a talk show host in Los Angeles pointed out the fact that my film was already completed before Nicholas Berg was ever murdered. So how could I keep it out of the film for sensitivity reasons? Well, here's how. Glad I can clear this up. I was sensitive, yes, to the fact that Nicholas Berg was saying things that would make my film look bad, and that would probably make the rest of his family depressed, since I have to assume they're fans of mine. Like all people the world over are. They're all fans of me. Me, Michael Moore, and not George Bush or Phil Henry, but me, Michael Moore. When I got out of that one, you think they'll buy it?
You're on the air still, Mr. Moore.
What?
You're still on the air.
Why am I still on the air? Why am I still on the air?
Michael Moore's America.
Why am I still on the air? Why did you let that out of the air? You fools!
I will be right back.
Ow! Why'd you do it? Why did you do it? Why?
Michael,
ow! Why?
Is that it? Wow. When did that get fed down to us? That was fed over from Fox Sports, huh? Heavy, baby, heavy. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. This evening we're going to be talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about magazine drives. Do your kids come home and ask you to subscribe to magazines? Do they ask your friends? Do they ask your coworkers? Well, Bobby's son did, and we'll find out how that's going at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and then, of course, Western Estates. The magazine drive that Bobby and Steve's son Seth is involved in. Tonight we will also have Chef Carl Cedilia on with a new recipe. Some of you know it as, I think it's called chip beef on toast, but in the Army they called it, well, euphemism for the word, crap on a shingle. And we'll also have this evening Paul Getty Lee, who is calling in from Antarctica, the very first man to test the effects of the Antarctic cold on an individual for a solid month. And, of course, tomorrow night we've got Ted Bell and Phil's Mailbag. And this is the Phil Henry Show, where our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And you can get the, not only can you get our Best of CD, but a number of other things on the website as well, out of our souvenir shop. And we've got a lot of them. And, of course, the new Best of the Phil Henry Show CD is going to be out, and it's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. And that's our Best of 2003 CD. 1-800-449-8686. And this is Paul. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing real good, Phil. I was wondering if you would do me a favor, and would you please repeat your web address, but do it Very slowly, please, because you have a tendency to run through it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's www.
Whoa. Hold on.
It's W.
No, hold on.
Are you getting a pen?
No, I just saw a lady walk by. She's.
Will you get a pen, sir?
I'm sorry.
W.
All right. W.
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 So there's three of them.
Yeah, there's three W's.
I wonder why that is. You know, I've always wondered that.
That's the World Wide Web.
Oh, okay. W, says the man. All right. And is that a dot or a period? Or I guess a dot, huh?
WWW, period.
All right, period. So that's dot, D-O-T?
No, period.
All right, P-E-R.
No, sir, dot.
No, I know. I'm just fooling with you. All right, www dot.
Look, I got to get into my show. And
no, I understand it, but every time you give your web address, I can't understand a damn thing. I'm over here. I'm at the Orange County Fair, so I had a minute. All right.
www.
I got that part.
Dot.
All right.
Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hold on. See, this is where you lose me. All right, what's the name of the show again?
Phil Hendry Show, the one you're listening to.
It's because I hear Don Imus. I,
what do you mean you hear Don Imus?
I don't know what you're saying. It's going so fast. WWW is not Don Imus' show.
No, it's the Phil Hendry Show, the one you're listening to.
I understand that, sir, but when I know I'm listening to the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what web address you're giving out.
Well, wouldn't it stand to reason if it's the Phil Hendry Show, it would be www.philhendryshow.com?
I don't know. I'm not in the business, Mr. Hendry. I'm just a listener of yours. I'm trying very much to support your program, and I'm just simply wanting you to slow down what you're saying, because I haven't been able to access your web. I've been on the Don Imus website. I've been on Glenn Beck. I've been over on the Jim Rome. And I've ordered thousands of dollars in jungle gear, but I still haven't been over to your website. I'm just simply trying to...
All right, I'm very sorry, sir. That's www.philhendryshow.
Hold on, all right. What's the first name?
You got to be kidding me, right?
What? Oh, again, I can tune out right now if you want it.
Phil?
P-H-I-L? Two L's?
One L.
It's not P-H-I-L-L?
No.
All right. Well, you think I'm stupid, or
no? I don't think it's a P-H-I-L. Okay.
Hendry, is that H-E-N-R-Y?
No, H-E-N-D.
H-E-N-D-R-Y.
No, H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Hold on.
Are you writing it down?
No, there's another little gal that just came out of the. But she's got a pair on.
Will you please write down the Phil?
Okay, Phil Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-E.
H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
H-E-N-D-R-I-E. And then .com.
Phil Hendry Show.
Right. .com.
Phil Hendry Show.
PhilHendryShow.com. All right, that's all I want to know. I just, you know, you race through it. And I said to my girlfriend, she is a big fan of yours. And she wants to send a picture into your wall of female listeners. And I said, well, why don't you do it? And she said, oh, you know, I don't. He wants women that are naked or something.
No, I know I don't. We have women. They're regular all-American girls that we have on our website.
All right. Well, that's what I told her. Because I've been, I'd seen it. I've been on your website a couple of times.
Well, wait a minute. How did you get on my website?
Because it's www.philhenryshow.com, right?
Well, if you know that, how the hell, why are you calling up?
Baba Booey.
Pelton, get the phone screening under control around here. And I like these cats, ba-ba-booey. It's like they're lazy with it now. There is really no inflection with it. It's ba-ba-booey. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I noticed on your website, www.donimus. All right, anyway, Phil Hendry Show back with, well, we got a visit tonight from, I believe, Ted Bell promoting tomorrow night's show. Let's have Bob Bakian on tonight. And, of course, this evening, Bobby and Steve Dooley on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up tonight will be Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association on magazine subscription drives that your kids may be involved in. Tomorrow night, it's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the famous restaurateurs in America. Now it's time for just a brief look at the news. By the way, wasn't this about the time that Bush was going to whip out Osama bin Laden and show that he'd had him captured so that he would win the election? When's that going to happen, George? Because that's what I was hearing all last spring and on into the summer. You know, he's got him somewhere hidden away, and he'll whip him out just in time. Oh, and one other thing. I heard a guy mention this in the news. Didn't Bush have some deal with the Saudis to bring down the price of oil just before the election? Yeah. That's all working out good, man. Funny how our paranoia sort of gets in the way of the facts, doesn't it? But then again, as I like to say, and as many have said before me, why let the facts confuse the issues, huh? Why let reality intrude on our delirium? Yeah, Bush has got Osama hidden someplace, all right. Well, if he does, it's got to be up somebody's rear end. It's got to be up, I don't know, maybe it's up Moore's rear end. Way too many fat references, but then again, the guy's such a big, plump target. He's such a large, corpulent, circle-with-legs target. And then again, there's me. All right, the latest polls show the president holds about an average 3-point lead over Senator Kerry, and some of them are even broader. Wall Street Journal had him leading by about 3 or 4 points. But then a poll came out yesterday that said he was in the lead by about 10. It was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4% over Senator Kerry. Now, what I'm about to say needs to be said. And you know me, you guys who listen to me long enough know that I am very protective of the business that I'm in. I'm very protective of broadcasting. You know, we are the stepchild of television and movies, and we are the, you know, the lower rung on the ladder of entertainment and all those things. But I happen to be a very big fan of radio, and I'm a huge fan of course, my own show. And I think that what we do here, at least from my standpoint, we work very hard, and I don't like to see anybody dilute the product. So what I'm about to say, I say from a completely non-political point of view, and you're just going to have to trust me. Anyway, this morning, I woke up early. Well, I didn't really wake up early, but what happens is this. I get home about 10:30, 11. Chris, you're the same way. Mark, you're probably the same way. You can't just go right to sleep, right? And my wife says, well, I'd like to have you in bed by midnight. I said, I can't be in bed by midnight, honey. I'm not a, you know, it's impossible. Well, you know, I can't sleep when you're not in the bed. And I just don't understand. I'm the same way. I can't sleep when Rhea's gone. I got to sleep on a couch or the floor. Or actually, I do sleep on our bed, but it's creepy. So I understand. I said, but baby, I can't just go right to sleep. So what I'll do is I'll hit the sack around midnight so she feels all comfy. And then about 3 a.m, I get up and I just sort of wander about our large estate, almost like Citizen Kane, staggering about with a cigar unlit and going, Rosebud. No, I just stand around. And then I flipped on the TV and I flip on the Sundance Channel, because they have a lot of really good independent movies. Well, one of the things that the Sundance Channel is doing late at night, and you might want to check it out, they are carrying Al Franken's radio show. How do I put this as sensitively and as delicately as I can? It's terrible. I'm saying this as a professional broadcaster. His radio show is utterly terrible. Now, Al Franken is a funny man. I've known for years that this guy is a funny guy, great writer, funny in and of his own right. He couldn't do radio if you put a loaded shotgun to his head. In fact, maybe we ought to try it. Somebody go in there, will you? Just put a loaded gun. Not, don't scare him, but just say, Al, maybe this will help. I've got a loaded Luger here, and it's pointed at your genitals. Do you think, well, anything is possible? Okay, let's try it. Go ahead. Try and do a show, any kind of a show. Something that'll make anybody smile, laugh, giggle, grin. Something. It's without a doubt the worst, most boring thing I've ever seen or listened to in my existence. The cat had, and he's got the sidekick. What is it with these guys and the sidekick? What, do you guys can't think of anything to say on your own for 3 hours? You got to have a woman sitting there going, yeah, mm-hmm, ee, oh, ah. You think I just said the F word, so my good friend Mr. Newman had to dump me. Other than your own freaking voice is what I said. I was going to say frogging voice and freaking, and it came out, you know, it starts with an F and it ends with a U. So, I'm watching this thing. Now the guy comes on with a bit. Here's the bit. He wanted to make fun of President Bush, so he says President Bush's post-convention bounce is as illusory and as hallucinogenic as something, you know, something, I forget what, as, you know, our victory in Iraq. And so, you know, because they're so concerned with the deaths of so many soldiers, here's what he's got going on. He's got, an edited clip of the president giving a speech at the United Nations. And he edited it so as to show that the president was really boring and kept stopping down waiting for people to applaud. Now, I understand he didn't get any applause. And he didn't get any standing ovation. He probably wasn't expecting one. So what Franken does is he edits this to make it look like President Bush is standing there waiting for people to applaud him. Now, that may work fine on TV for some people. I was watching TV, and it wasn't very funny to me, but you're doing a radio show, man. You're doing a radio show. Then he's got the woman there, just like Forehead Boy's got the woman. When are you women going to start, you know, fighting back a little bit and saying, you know, I'm not a sidekick, I'm not the weather babe, I'm not the news chick, I got something to say, I'm going to say it, all right? What, am I going to sit here and hold the hand of some unfunny, boring, fat, white man? And that's the Al Franken show. It's horrific. Now, I recognize, and I don't say this, believe me, I thought long and hard about it. I'm on an Air America affiliate in Denver. I may be on others. And I realize that I probably, you know, will be looked upon with a frown for saying these things. But I'm telling you, I've got too much respect, and I've worked too long in this business to see amateurs come in and continually pollute and dilute the product. Amateurs! You understand? It would be like me getting behind a camera and trying to direct a feature film and demanding that Paramount give me a $100 million budget to do it. And take out all kinds of newspaper ads, say Phil Hendry's directorial debut. And I haven't even held a Brownie 8 in about 30 years. I barely know how to use a video camera. Imagine me directing a movie? Now, where these guys get off being brought, you can hire anybody you want, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I got a right to say something about it, don't I? Or am I not allowed to say anything about it? Am I supposed to pretend like it's just cool? Yeah, it's a real fellow broad. Look, cats like that are not my peers, man. These guys are interlopers. They're intruders on a meet. I'm not talking about because the cat doesn't have... Like, look, Randy Rhodes is on Air America. I know Randy from Miami. She's a pro. She's fantastic. She's smart. She's funny when she wants to be. And she's the only broadcaster they got, other than me, in the Denver area anyway. She's national on there, right? She's great. Now they got Janine Garofalo, they got Al Franken, and I haven't heard Janine's show, so I shouldn't comment, but I'll bet you it blows. Just, you know, on average. What do you bet? Just because she's never done it before. Franken, though, for a morning drive guy, worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Utterly unlistenable. Boring as hell, and the cat's trying to come off. I think he's been watching too much of Don Imus' show on MSNBC. You know how Don sits there kind of curmudgeonly with a cowboy hat and hunched almost as if he has that permanent curvature of the spine like Larry King has got? So Franken figures that's what you got to do, look as if you got a hunchback. So he hunched over the microphone, and at one point it looked like he was even hunching the microphone. I'm kidding. It's like when they had Daryl Gates doing a radio show here. Daryl Gates was the former chief of police in Los Angeles. Somebody gave an afternoon drive radio show here in L.A. I wonder who that was. Don't you say it! Sorry, David. And, boy, it was... Well, I don't know. It was probably better than Al Franken's show. If you guys want to get a good guy in there, why don't you get Daryl Gates? Yeah, I know he's conservative, but at this point, anything will help. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we have Bob Bakian tonight. We also have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. We got a little bit of Jay Santos coming your way. I think R.C. Collins might call in. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The great Lloyd Bonafide, retired heating and plumbing man from Alhambra, California, will be up in just a second here. Lloyd will be heard from yesterday's show. But just a comment on the Scott Peterson case, just an update. It is now official. There isn't anyone on the face of the earth, other than about half of the current jury, that believes the man is innocent. They've pulled Aborigines in Australia. They asked a guy who was polling a river tributary in Sri Lanka. They talked to natives of the Serengeti. They've discussed this with Canadian Indians. They've talked about it in adobe huts. Some cat in China. Oh, the cat burned the guy! You know, they're all... But they found the dumbest people on earth. It might be half the jury thinks this cat's innocent, because as I told you, my sources tell me this may be a hung jury. Are you ready for that? Now, in other words, see, the guy says this. Well, you don't know what was in his mind when he found out that his wife, just because you'd react a certain way when you find out that your wife and kid are dead, doesn't mean he will have to. It's true. That's true. But I will submit this to your consideration. We're all human beings. If there's one thing that we know about being a human, we know how humans react. We know how a healthy human most of the time reacts, and we know how unhealthy humans or human beings who are, you know, duplicitous, how they might react. And when a guy finds out that his wife and his kid have turned up floating with the garbage in the bay, and all he does is sort of just wipe an imaginary tear from his eye and go, anybody want to get coffee? Isn't that odd? Of course it is. Of course it is. Of course. Okay. Well, you see, that's how you'd react. You'd be upset. Oh, come on. That's how anybody would be. You find out the woman you love and the baby that you were looking for to have, they're both dead with, the plastic from a squirt six-pack wrapped around the kid's neck. And this guy reacts as if somebody just told him, you know, it could be hemorrhoids, Mr. Peterson. Well, great. Is there, like, some cream or something? You know, forget it, man. The guy is so guilty, it's not even beyond belief. But guess what? The dumbest people on the face of the earth often turn up in these juries, right? Yeah, you know what happened to the O.J. trial. I mean, they had 12 of the stupidest human beings that the world has ever given birth to. 12. I wonder where those O.J. jurors are today. Do you think they'd even raise their hand and admit they were on that jury? I think if there's any... I'm broadcasting in Los Angeles right now. If there's any member of that O.J. jury listening to me right now, wants to go on the air and be ridiculed and belittled and made fun of, but I will give you a free CD, call us now. Anyway, they got some dumb ones, baby. We'll be updating you on just how dumb they get. We'll update you on the dumb forecast as it progresses here. 1-800-449-8686. And now, Lloyd Bonafide from last night's show. A woman who was driving in front of the car he and his grandson were in threw a lit cigarette butt out of the car. It bounced up onto Lloyd's car. He felt he was entirely justified given the fact that she could have burned the city down with that lit cigarette. He walked up to her and choked her. Put his hands around her neck and choked her. We had a U.S. Marine call and tell Lloyd, a Navy veteran, I bet you wouldn't choke a man.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm wondering if he would have done this if this was a man that had done it.
Oh, yes. No question.
You would have.
No question about it.
Because I'll tell you what, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, and if anyone wants to come up and throttle me by the throat,
hey, you Marine...
You're going to have a hell of a time doing that.
You're talking to a Navy guy, okay? And while your ass rode and buy equipment, friend, don't ever make the mistake that I'm Popeye.
Well, okay.
All right, look, can we keep it off of this level?
No, this guy wanted to take it onto that level.
Well, I mean, you've said that you're a Korean War veteran about 20 times.
That's correct.
Which is irrelevant to the story. Would you have done this to a man who's 33 years old?
I think I answered your question. I don't care if he's 13 years old. He tries to set fire to my grandson and burn him alive in front of me. And
well, wait. The lady flips a cigarette butt. You're attributing to her intentions that I think it's safe to assume she didn't have.
Well, wait, that's what smokers like to say. Oh, I didn't know I was hurting anybody. Hey, let me ask
sir,
this. Let me
sir,
ask the Marine.
You also said,
hey, let me ask this
sir,
Jarhead something. Do you smoke?
Yes, I do.
Why did you watch the Jarhead stuff?
All right. I'll
also tell you what. For the first 20 times you talked about her throwing the cigarette, you said it hit the windshield. But the last time you said it hit the ground and jumped up like a trapeze artist.
It bounced off the pavement. What, do I got to take you back to boot camp and show you how to polish your shoes, too? You know?
I'll say it. You know, sir, I really think that you're out of line.
Well, I tell you what. Anybody tries to set fire to my grandson...
But she wasn't trying to.
I don't give a good, sweet, feathery lord if she was or she wasn't. That's not the point. The point is...
You're talking about setting examples for your grandson, correct?
Right. That's exactly what you're saying, Lloyd, right?
And you're showing him that the way to treat women in the future when they're irritated with them is to throttle them by the neck?
Wait a second. I didn't say when I'm irritated with them. When they try to set fire...
you're certainly not happy with them.
Well, the message is this. If a female tries to burn you alive, yes, you have the right to take matters into your own hands.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me ask you this. What if the car was leaking gasoline and the cigarette landed on it, and my grandson is cooked into bacon?
Of the millions of lit cigarettes that are thrown out windows, I don't recall any time in my life hearing of a car blowing up from gasoline leaking.
That's because you're a Marine and you're trying to defend the fact that you spoke. You know, I'll tell you something. I don't care if you have the cigarette or if it's Betty Boop. I'll squeeze the life right out of the person that tries to burn my son.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Lloyd figures she tosses a lit cigarette out on the pavement, and he's going to arrive at the police station with, like, cooked pork in a child seat. I mean, this guy is way out of line. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and I'll go over here to Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we have Bobby and Steve Dooley. Bob Bakian will pay a visit a little bit later on. We got a flashback from Jay Santos, a flashback. Let's go to Paul. Paul, how you doing? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Phil, I wanted to comment about the Dan Rather. You know, whether he has a job or whether he doesn't. And I had this to say about Mr. Rather. He has looked at my kids in the way that he looks at children long enough. I want him off the air.
I don't understand what you mean, sir, when he's looked at kids.
You've seen him on his television cast, haven't you? You've seen the Dan Rather Show?
Yes, sir.
And you've seen that leer that he has?
His leer?
Dan Rather has looked at my kids' genitals and...
Wait a minute. You're talking about Dan Rather having to lose his job possibly because he manipulated a news story. What do you mean he's looking at your kids' privates?
I've been looking at him every night on the CBS News with that stare. He's got a leer, and it is the look... If there was just a little glob of saliva at the side of his mouth... It would complete the picture, and I'm tired of it. And I don't want him looking at my kids like that anymore. And I've emailed that to the FCC, and...
I don't think he's looking at your kids. That's the way he looks.
Well, I'm getting tired of it. I think there's something wrong with him, and I want him off the air. And I will tell you this much. I think that they could replace him with anyone. They could replace him with that Jillian Barbary from Fox News, who I think is a very attractive young lady. And I would think she was a more credible newscaster than this guy, Rather, who likes to look at little kids' private areas. And
all right, I'm not going to have you on the air anymore if you start slandering him.
I'm not going to slander him, but I would rather they have Jillian Barbary. Although Jillian Barbary, if they kept her on too long, I do want to make this note, if they kept Jillian Barbary on talking for longer than 5 minutes, the problem with her is that I feel like hitting a woman after I see her for too much. So I've got a double-edged problem here.
Yeah, you do.
Dan Rather's looking at my children's private area, and Jillian Barbary makes me want to hit women.
All right. Bye.
Well, what about that? Are you going to...
1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Bobby and Steve Dooley, coming up.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Going to get Ted Bell in here in just a minute to talk to us about his appearance on our program tomorrow. Let's go over here to Bill. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just telling you, Dan Rather was hungry for a kid. He went...
Could you get 1-800-449-8686? And Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, how are you?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you have got some of the craziest buttholes listening to your show. It's thoroughly entertaining.
What about this, and Ted will be on tomorrow night on the show, what about this Dan Rather thing?
Well, Dan Rather reached for the stars, Phil, and he fell off the stepladder. He was trying to make the big home run. I think he was trying to hit the big home run. He wanted to finish out his career with the major story of his career. But I think anybody who has followed Dan Rather over the years, I think we've all seen that Dan Rather has a tendency to overreach himself. And what do I mean by that? Dan Rather, in my opinion, Phil, has a very limited amount of talent. And believe me, because I've been an employer for the last 25 years. So I can really tell when someone's overreaching, and I can tell you, I think Dan Rather is a credible reporter. I don't think there's anything special. Bob Woodward, he ain't. H.L. Mencken, he ain't. Carl Bernstein, he ain't. I think he's a credible and talented and tough-nosed reporter who I think gets most of his news just by pissing people off, but I want to tell you something. When you look at Dan Rather, you can tell that there isn't a whole lot going on up there, and I think he knows that he's holding on. He's holding on by his fingernails. But I'll tell you that he is.
Why are you doing that?
What?
You're getting real soft. And then you're going to go way back. What is that?
I'm trying to stress the point that I'm trying to make here is that Dan Rather tried to be Walter Cronkite, and he's not. And I think for 20 years, the American people have put up with this guy, boring us to tears, pretending like something's important when it isn't, completely missing the big picture on the national, societal, and cultural scene, not knowing what's an important story and what isn't, dull as watching paint dry. And I think it's time that CBS cut its losses, recognize that just because you hang on to a mistake for 24 years, or whatever it's been, Phil, I forget what year did he take over?
Well, it was 80, was it 23 years, I'm sorry.
All right, I think it's CBS realized that if you hang on to a mistake for 23 years, it doesn't make the mistake go away, it just makes it ready to blow up in your face. And I'm going to tell you something right now, this Dan Rather situation is going to blow up into Les Moonves' face. I mean, he's going to get a face full of this one when it's all said and done. So that's my thought, and that you can take it for what it is. It just comes from 23 years as an employer. But I think that Les Moonves is going to be toweling his face off after the...
Okay, I get the analogy, okay?
All right, but I just wanted you... They're going to ask for a towel.
I get it.
Anyway, come on down to Ted. By the way, Phil, your intern Bud came in last night trying to get served. He was throwing your name around a little bit, so I don't know what that's about. Says you molested him, so...
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to put our meat in your... I just better let you know that.
All right, Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen. Ted's in Beverly Hills, and he is the owner there. He says Dan Rather overreached. Well, it could be. I think that's a very good point. I think when you look at Rather, he is a guy. He's a very unremarkable, honest to God. You think about this cat. What has he ever done really, other than make big deals out of things? That yes, I'll give you the fact that the. You know, they had the story on the tobacco company, but then they turned around and they covered it up at the behest of the tobacco companies. He's never exhibited a great deal of courage. The last courage that Dan Rather exhibited is when he got socked there on the floor of the Democratic convention. Was it 72 or the Republican convention? 72? He got punched in the gut, and I remember Cronkite going, "Bunch of thugs down there, Dan." And he said, "Well, you know, it's all a night's work, Walter." But has he ever really ripped the lid off of anything in the years that he has been the anchor at that network? Has he ever done anything that was the least bit remarkable? Even during the Gulf War, I mean, not like Geraldo, who busted down the door of that empty vault and just stood there going, "Well, it's empty." Yeah, but at least Geraldo, hey, let me tell you what. You can laugh about Geraldo, but that guy went all the way over there to Tora Bora, baby. And he's sitting there not, you know, a few hundred meters away from where they were shelling the hell out of Osama and his group. I mean, the guy was right there.
Rather's never done a thing. You remember during the Gulf War? And he had himself in the pillboxes that the Iraqis were going to use to shoot the Marines as they hit the beach in Kuwait. Only problem was this. The whole military battle plan for the Gulf War had the Marines sitting out in the water pretending like they were going to advance while the Army went up the backside. And that's exactly what happened. They went right up Saddam's backside. And the Marines never hit the beach. And there's Dan Rather waiting for the story that never happened. Meanwhile, that guy Bob Simon, what'd he do? He got kidnapped and taken into the Iraqi desert and, you know, and made to do the bidding of some poor, hungry Iraqi soldiers who were hungry for women and food. And Simon was the best thing possible in the, well, anyway. You look good to me. I'm Bob Simon from CBS. No, no. Tonight you will be mine. Tonight you're my woman. You're what? This. That's right. Out here in this filthy, stinking desert for Saddam, there's no food and no woman. Tonight you're my woman. Look, I'm Bob Simon from CBS News. No, no. Oh! And the next day they were married. Ding, dong, ding. And Rather, meanwhile, while Bob Simon is playing Susie to some just perverted Iraqi soldier, Rather is sitting there on the phone in the Baghdad, whatever the hell hotel he's in Kuwait, going, look, I said no shrimp on the lettuce, okay? And Simon is spread out over, you know, four tarps. And Dan Rather's sitting there on the phone saying, can I get the New York Times, too, with that? And just a pot of coffee for one, please. He's doing nothing. Nothing. Now, this story blew up in his face. And don't, like I said, and I think I was the first one to say this, but maybe if I wasn't, that's cool, but I'm pretty sure I was. Don't make any mistake. This is all about Matt Drudge. This is all about the internet. This is all about the fact that guys like Drudge have basically made the major news-gathering organizations look inept and look like they're all overpaid, because Matt has been digging up stories on his own, sitting at his computer in a pile of his own laundry for years and scooping the hell out of all of these guys. And Rather's, you know, a guy with an ego like his, probably the size of 16 different major metropolitan areas, he can't stand it. It drives him out of his mind. So guess what he did? He got a hold of these documents, and he said, I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to run with this, because I'm going to look really bad if Drudge puts this up, and we get scooped again by the Drudge Report. Well, guess what? Drudge wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, because he knew this stuff stunk to high heaven. And Drudge has got more newsman sense in his little finger than Dan Rather's had for 40 freaking years. So Rather runs with the story. Now he looks like a total imbecile. And meanwhile, Bob Simon is still out there wearing a burqa. Simon's out there wearing a burqa, and there's Rather saying, just give me the Cafe Americana this time, all right? And decaf.
Yes, Mr. Rather.
All right, now, how are we going to let the credits read on this big story on Bush? Okay, coming up is Bobby and Steve Dooley next hour. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley are joining us from the Western Estate Parent Teacher Organization. I know the your school district and many around the country, Ms. Dooley, are in the midst of their magazine sales drives.
We are, Phil, and the exciting thing for me is that our youngest son, Seth, who is in the seventh grade this year, he really wanted the iPod for Christmas.
What is an iPod, anyway?
It's a handheld MP3 player.
Yeah, for his music.
It's a handheld what?
It's a handheld MP3 player.
For recorded music.
Okay.
So I said to him, well, then since you didn't get it for Christmas, we'll get it for you as an early birthday present. So the prize has the kids, that the kids win for the most magazine subscriptions is this iPod, and I told him that he would get it.
That he would get it, but he has to beat the other kids for the magazine subscriptions, correct?
Well, and here's where, I guess, being the president of our homeowners association gives me a little bit better access to our community members. Steve and I, what we did is we immediately emailed all 75 homeowners that we have in our three separate upscale phases, and then we also emailed an additional 75 homeowners in our Adobe Village townhomes, and we told them what we would need from them.
So you're asking for all of them to subscribe to a magazine?
That's right, which would put them over the top, and that'd be 150 subscriptions that put them over the top.
I love Steve. That would be 150 subscriptions that would put him over the top. I think the host can add.
No, I understand. 150 subscriptions. My daughter has been getting people to subscribe to magazines too because I think the prize at their school is a TV and a DVD player.
Well, and I think it's wonderful to get the kids involved, and you don't want to see them disappointed. But when you put I'll tell you something, Phil. When you put a child together with a motivated adult, you've got almost an unbeatable combination. So when Seth wins the iPod, what we wanted to do is we'd have the kids over that didn't win it, and they can watch Seth using it, ask him about it. He can demonstrate it for them.
But he hasn't won yet. The magazine drive is still on, so he hasn't won it yet per se.
No, but I made myself pretty clear to the homeowners that we have 150. We want to get all 150. I'll give you a story. We have an elderly woman over on Manoa who had balked at buying one of the subscriptions. Can I tell the story?
Yeah,
I'd like to hear it.
So we had this woman, Shirley Hinshaw. Her husband died last March, and we called her and we told her what we expected from her, like all the other homeowners. So we weren't treating her any differently, and we wanted her to purchase a magazine subscription for Seth so that he can win this iPod. Okay.
All right.
So we don't hear anything from her. And, of course, the first thing that I think of is that there's something wrong. Did she slip? Did she fall? As I said, she lost her husband last fall. We don't hear anything from her. So Steve goes over there with some of the gentlemen from our security gate. All right.
All right.
And they force their way into the bathroom. And, of course, Steve tells me later he didn't know what he was going to find. Is she dead? He said his heart was pounding. And they kick in the bathroom door, and there she is going to the toilet. All right.
Well, why did they force their way in?
Because we hadn't heard anything from her on the magazine subscription.
Well, what I'm saying is maybe she wasn't interested in buying a subscription, you see.
This is what I'm saying.
No, that's not it.
This is what, she knew what we expected, yet she ignores us. So the first thing we're going to think is something has happened to her.
So she didn't buy a subscription.
Well, I was upset. Steve was upset. I was very direct. And I called her and I said, you know, you old, and I used some choice words that I probably shouldn't have used. But we were worried about you, I said, and you're ignoring us. And I explained to her how my son Seth was going to win the iPod. You see, Phil, there's an old saying, you never come between a dog and his meat, and you never come between a mother and her child. And she had done this. So I sent over to her house with Seth. I told her, we've got a year subscription to Elder Abuse Weekly, which is a periodical, you know, that keeps the elderly up to date on how many elderly people are being abused or beaten. And I said to her, I certainly will expect you to purchase a year subscription, given what you put our family through.
And well, what she put your family through, other than not buying a subscription when you asked for it.
Well, but not buying the subscription. We thought something had happened to her. And Steve and Pete and Gary from security kick in the bathroom door, and there she is sitting on the toilet. And you have to ask...
Well, the lady, apparently there was nothing wrong with her. When your husband kicked in the bathroom door, the woman was using the facility.
But you have to ask yourself, Phil, here's the point. Does she get some kind of a perverse kick out of this? All right, showing men... you know how she goes to the toilet. I thought it was very inappropriate. I thought...
All right, our phone number is 1-800-449-8686. If you hold on, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley. 1-800-449-8686. The magazine subscription drives that we have our kids doing, they're looking for subscriptions. They win prizes. And you guys are in the middle of yours, and I'm sure a lot of parents are in the middle of theirs. My daughter is in the middle of hers. So you're telling a story here that I find kind of unusual.
Well, first of all, Phil, you have to understand, a mother that loves her son, Seth wanted the iPod for Christmas. He didn't get it. So I said, you know what? You're going to win it. And we're doing what any parent would do. We're going to assure him winning the iPod.
But do you feel as if you're putting pressure on people?
In what way?
In my way.
Well, you sent an email, and you've said to me, and you've used the word, we've sent emails to people and told them what we expect.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Doesn't that sound as if you're putting pressure?
Well, I don't think the wording, no. I think what you're hearing is, you know, we're putting pressure on you, but you need to understand, Seth is my youngest. I love him as much as I love my other two boys, but I almost died giving birth to Seth. We have a very, I guess you could say, a very special bond. And when I tell my boy that mom's going to get him something, mommy's going to get him the iPod, I mean it. And I'm simply saying to the other, to the homeowners, I'm the homeowner association president. I'm expecting a subscription from each and every one of you. Again, you don't get between a mother and her child. There's an old Paul Simon song, for the mother and child reunion is only emotion away. And I remember that lyric because it speaks to the contact that a mother has.
All right, but with all of that being said...
You don't get between a dog and his feet.
No, I understand that, but with all of that being said, do you feel the lady, the elderly woman who you said we're going to expect a subscription...
Well, she put us through a little bit of trauma.
I thought she was dead. I really did.
Mr. Dooley, when you kicked in the door, what did you think you were going to find?
I thought she had a heart attack. We hadn't heard from her.
All right. If you send out an email and say, I'm expecting you to subscribe to a magazine to help my son Seth win the magazine drive at school, and they do not respond, you automatically assume then that there was something wrong with her.
That is correct.
Yes. And
well, but why? Why wouldn't you assume, for instance, that she simply was not interested?
Because I had made it clear that I told my son Seth he's going to win the iPod. I don't understand your question.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is...
I made it clear to everyone,
What I mean is this. If I get an email from you or someone, I'm going to think, maybe I don't want to subscribe.
I have made it very clear. We are expecting...
Is there something in your bylaws that says that if the Homeowners Association president says you must do this or that, that you have to do it?
Is it in the bylaws? No, it's not in the bylaws. I'm the Homeowners Association president. I also have three sons that I love very much. My youngest wants to win the iPod at school for the most magazine subscriptions. Let me say this to you, and I'm like a lot of mothers, no one, and I mean no one, hurts my children. So, if I could finish, when I told Seth, you know, we were going to give you the iPod for Christmas, we didn't. Daddy and I forgot, but you're going to win it. He's going to win the iPod, and you're at a point now where you don't question, you just do. No one gets between...
You don't get between a dog and his feet.
Exactly. You don't get between a mother and what she wants for her son.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me take a phone call before we take a break on this. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. Walt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I've got a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
First point is...
Mm-hmm.
Even as a homeowners association, where does the lady have the right to tell somebody else within the housing that she has to buy a subscription?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's totally wrong. You don't tell another person outside of your home what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wrong in doing this for her son because when she wants, the son's going to want, you know, well, I want it. Mommy's going to get it for me, and it don't matter what it takes to get it.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to get it for me. I don't have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally the wrong. She's not teaching the kid anything.
Oh, no. I think we're collaborating. I think Seth and I are collaborating on getting him that iPod. And what father would not help their child achieve a dream? And I think you asked me, what right? I mean, I'm the Homeowners Association president. I don't understand. What is your comment?
You're telling the kid, we're homeowners to buy magazines. You can get your iPod.
Well,
he's not working. He's not working for the iPod.
We live in a gated community. Do you live in a gated community? I don't know if you're.
No, I don't.
Okay, you're probably not familiar with the way our homeowners associations work in gated communities.
I understand how they work, but my point is, you're not teaching him anything. Not teaching him you have to work for what you want in life.
Well, his mother promised him the iPod.
See, I promised him the iPod.
Well, then it should be your responsibility to go buy it for him and not tell him.
No, he can only get it through this subscription. And here's where I could be clear. Shirley Henshaw is 75 years old. She lost her husband last year. We told her that we expected a subscription. We don't hear from her. Now I'm worried. Is she hurt? Has she fallen? Has she had a heart attack? I have no idea. My husband and security kick in the front door, beat down the door to her hallway, and finally beat in the bathroom door, and she's sitting there going to the toilet.
I heard all of that.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. I heard all of that.
Right.
But that
yeah,
still
but
does not...
What has that got to do with the idea that you expected?
Because I'm trying to make myself clear. She's showing my husband herself going to the toilet, and I think if anything, she owes us a magazine subscription. If not, you know, I probably should have called the police.
That's what.
Yeah, I don't. All right. Well, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley join us on this Wednesday night to talk about magazine subscription. Her son is in the middle of these magazine subscriptions. You know, your kid wants to win a prize. Her son wants this iPod, so she has sent out an email to all the homeowners. We expect you. This is the word I'm having a problem with. We expect you to subscribe to a magazine. She didn't hear from one of them, an elderly lady who lives, I guess, in the neighborhood. And when they went to contact her, they kicked down the door. The woman was there using the bathroom. Obviously a mistaken thing, but now she's expecting her to get a subscription. And through it all, Ms. Dooley seems to be saying, what my son wants, I get for my son. And so she's using her power as the Homeowners Association president to get subscriptions from everyone. Is this the purview of a Homeowners Association president? Are these magazine drives that important? 1-800, and if someone were to come to your house or send you an email saying, I'm going to expect a subscription for my son to win this iPod, are you beholden to follow that directive? 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, join me on a magazine subscription drive that their son is having at school. I understand you want your son to, you know, win the subscription drive.
Well, Phil, I don't know whether or not you're understanding it.
We're getting the feeling that you're not really getting the whole gist.
Well, tell me if I'm not getting the whole gist. You are expecting people...
Look, I am the Homeowners Association president. First of all, let me give you an example, Phil. We had a couple move in.
Then I got some calls I want to get to, all right?
I understand. But we had a couple move in, Bill and Diane Brotherton. Now, these two people are Hispanic. I think she is Hispanic, right?
Yes, she is.
We have mostly an Anglo homeowner base. And I said to them, this would be a wonderful way for you to join with us. And
what do you mean, join with you?
No, hold on, Phil.
Hold your horses, Mr. We're not racist.
Yeah. You know, we're not racist, and I don't want you to go down there. I just said I thought this would be a wonderful way for you and your very lovely Mexican bride to join with the rest of us, who are primarily Anglo, in making a statement as one community, helping my son get the iPod. And so I said there's wonderful magazines about Mexicans and or about, you know, Latin culture. And they understood, and they immediately sent a subscription in. So why doesn't this woman?
You're talking about Shirley Henshaw, who refused the... By the way, did she get the subscription to this elder abuse magazine?
Oh, yes, she did. She when we told her... you know, what was at stake here? She had exposed herself.
Well, let's keep your husband kicked down the door.
Mr. Henry, I thought she was having a heart attack.
He thought she was having a heart attack. So this has nothing to do with Steve.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Cindy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Cindy?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Hi. I've been listening to the show, and my point is this.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a gated community.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand
mm-hmm.
what that means,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a homeowners association president, you
mm-hmm.
are not a paid
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
You are an elected person
mm-hmm.
by your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no right
mm-hmm.
to go to each of these homeowners and say,
mm-hmm.
we expect you to do this for our child.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
you have
something
no right
that,
to do that.
Well,
that
it's something that we do expect because Seth
your
wants the...
Your husband
yeah.
broke into her house and you say she exposed her
we thought that she was in
husband.
Danger. We thought
that
she
is
was,
absurd.
We thought
your
she was in danger.
Your husband invaded her privacy, her home. Poor
hey, Cindy, I got to jump in. Can you hear us,
I probably
Cindy?
Would have had a heart
Cindy,
attack.
Cindy, can you hear us?
My...
Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, fine. I just didn't know.
I wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead.
We thought she was in danger. We thought perhaps
why
there was some...
Why she was in danger?
Well, we hadn't heard from her. And we,
ma'am, does
she,
everybody
she's
need
elderly?
To respond to you when you want them to respond to you? Maybe
as
she had other things to do.
I do have a 24-hour rule. Yes, I do. If I do reach out to the community, I want them to
But they
check
do not have
me.
That same rule. That's great that you offer that to your homeowners,
mm-hmm.
but they do not need to respond to you 24 hours. Maybe she
well,
was thinking about it. Maybe she didn't
yeah,
feel like
yeah.
she had the money that she wanted to spend on that.
Right. Well, I do have a 24-hour rule.
Well,
I
ma'am,
want people
ma'am,
to
the
check
point
in
is
with
that
me.
She, you know what? You
and,
invaded her
each
space.
Day,
you invaded
each
her
day.
Home.
Wait a minute. I
want
to ask a question. Are you saying, Ms. Dooley, that you require all homeowners to check in with you daily?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Why?
Because I'm the homeowners, I want to keep track of
no,
how everyone
you,
is.
You are not responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible for your
mm-hmm.
community. Don't keep mm-hmming me.
I'm listening to you.
You're not even listening to me.
No, I am listening to you.
No, the point is of a homeowners association president
mm-hmm.
is to make a better community.
Absolutely.
Not to be a gatekeeper.
There are
every day I come and go
yeah,
from my home
it.
That I'm supposed to call you and tell you where I am going.
I want to know what you're up to because,
that
first
is none
of all,
your business.
Well, look, there are different ways of governing different communities. You may have your way, and I don't know if the lady said she was a HOA president.
No, I don't think you are.
No,
are you,
I am not one, but I do
right.
live in a gated community, and
right.
we did elect
Well, I don't know
our...
you know the pressures that we're under, so I want to know
what
you're
up under
to.
No pressures.
Mm-hmm. Well,
other
you know,
than
not...
that you want to give your child everything under
well,
the sun.
Well, not having the job that
you know
I
what?
Have, I don't know how you'd know.
Listen,
really, you know.
The fact that you promised your son an
mm-hmm.
iPod based on everybody else supporting him in this magazine
mm-hmm.
subscription is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. You cannot
well,
expect people to do that. They
well,
have
I don't know
choice.
About you. I don't know about you, but when I promise my children something, I come through.
Then, ma'am, maybe you should have bought it for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Not expecting everybody
right.
in the neighborhood to buy something for your son.
I want him to work for it.
Well, obviously
well,
he's not because you're doing the work.
No, well, you know,
you're
you seem like the person who wants...
You're badgering the
oh,
neighbors.
You want to get the last word, don't you? Well, I'm not going to let you.
All right, hold on. 1-800, I'll get the last word. 1-800-449-8686. Phil
the Henry. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My wife wants to
Mrs. Bobby Dooley and Mrs. Steve Dooley join us. And Ms. Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Has come under some criticism on our show tonight because her son is involved in a magazine drive at school, one that we're all familiar with, I'm sure, or the kind that we're all familiar with, I should say. And she told her son that she would help him win the iPod. It's an iPod, an MP3 player that or recorder that the kids get if they bring in the most subscriptions, sending out an email to each one of the homeowners saying, we expect you to subscribe, breaking down the door of one homeowner who did not respond to the email, assuming that she was ill or perhaps in danger. They broke down the door to her home and found her indisposed. And Ms. Dooley, the question I would ask you...
Well, you say indisposed, and she was very clearly showing three men how she goes to the toilet.
They broke in the door to the bathroom while she was going to the bathroom as the point. And the question I want to ask you, you said as the Homeowners Association president, you like to keep track of people, and I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, Phil, you know, everyone is drawing these nefarious conclusions.
It's really no big thing.
Well, it sounds nefarious.
Look, I am the Homeowners Association president. one of our homeowners, Kristen Riley, a very good friend of mine, I saw her leaving the other day, and I walked over to her as she was pulling out of the driveway, and I simply said, you know, where are you going? And she said, and she gave me one of those looks, and I said, well, I want to know where you're going, because I don't want to compromise the security of our community. We are a gated community. And so I want to keep track. And I asked her...
Well, I don't know where in where it says...
No, I asked her, where are you going? And she said, I'm going, I do volunteer work. And I said, for who? And she said, for Bush. And, of course, you know, that raised a red flag with me. We're Kerry supporters. But I let her go. I didn't say, you can't go. But I took note of it. And these are simply the things that a homeowners association president does.
You took note of it.
Yeah, it was no big thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi. I have a couple of points to make.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I feel that you are absolutely abusing your power as the president of the Homeowners Association by expecting people to buy these magazine subscriptions. It's like in a work situation when the supervisor comes along with their kids' fundraising thing. Guess what? Everybody feels they damn well better buy it, or they're not going to get a promotion, et cetera, et cetera. You're abusing the power. You should be removed as the president of that board.
Well, that's
Secondly, I'm not done.
Well, that's not what we're doing, though, so you're missing
Oh, that certainly is what you're doing. And secondly, you are... Furthermore, you are abusing using their private email addresses, which you would not have access to were it not for your position as the president of that association. These are private personal email addresses.
Well, we communicate as friends. We communicate as friends.
They have given them to you.
As friends.
You're not friends with all 150. They've given them to you because
it's required by the
Homeowners Association.
I'd like to think that I am friends with everyone who is under my control, and I want to let them know that I care about them, but that they also should reciprocate for me.
It certainly sounds like
you
are running a Nazi camp there.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like
a prison camp in that Homeowners
Association. I cannot believe anybody would want to live there.
Let me tell you something, Joanne. My husband and I visited Auschwitz 3 summers ago. It was fascinating. But I can tell you we're nothing like those people that ran Auschwitz. And that's what you just said.
That's right, I did.
Well,
and you're keeping tabs on people. You're wanting to know where they go. You've just made the statement. She was going to a Bush campaign thing.
Well, I made note of the fact that she.
And you let her go. You let her go. What?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Just as I would let you go.
Stop some people from going.
If you lived in our community, Joanne, you would see we have beautiful homes, 75 in our Adobe Village. If you're leaving, if you lived across the street and you're leaving, I simply walk up to you and I say, Joanne, where are you going?
None of your damn business.
Oh, you really
none
have a
your
mouth?
Damn
You've
business.
Got a real mouth on you, don't you?
You know, none of your business.
Well, I'm afraid I have to know. Where are you going?
You know, why?
Yeah. Why?
What business
because
of it is yours?
How many times do I have to say it? I'm the Homeowners Association president.
So?
Oh, my God.
Why does that make it your business?
I want to make sure that our community is secure. What if you're going out, and forgive me, but what if you're going out and turning tricks as a hooker and bringing men back in?
Well,
you think
I mean,
that if somebody was
you know,
a hooker, that they would tell you that that's what they were doing? I don't think so.
Well, if you told me, well, you're just going out, then I'd say, okay, there's something wrong here.
All right.
I would not want to live there. Thank you.
Well, you know, you don't know. We have 7,500 square foot floor plans, gazebos, everything. It's great.
All right. Joanne, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Richard?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I had a couple of comments. As this goes on, I have more and more comments. First of all, you know, you're lucky. You say that you should have called the police when that lady, she was going to the bathroom. Okay? How is she exposing herself to him?
Well,
she's going to the bathroom. You know, you're lucky she didn't have a heart attack when he kicked in the door.
We thought
she had
a heart attack.
The poor lady was going to the bathroom.
I understand that, but she hadn't been in contact with us. The homeowners are supposed to stay in touch with me once a day.
I'm going to go ahead and compare apples to oranges because they're both a fruit. Okay? I'm in the military. Yes, I don't have a position like you have. However, I'm a platoon sergeant. I have 38 men under me. What you're doing is what we would call abusing our rank for profit, pleasure, or personal safety. Okay? And profit or pleasure would be the one. You know, your child, bless your heart, you want him to have the iPod. You told him you would get it to him for Christmas.
I love
you
my
forgot.
I don't know if I'm giving birth to him.
If you love him that much, first of all, how did you forget to get him for him for Christmas?
No, we didn't forget. We decided we wouldn't get it for him for Christmas because we'd given him the electric piano. And he
He's not working for it. He is not working for it right now.
So,
you're working for it.
So
you're expecting people to buy prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, you made a comment that you wanted him to work for it.
Absolutely. But what mother isn't going to work with her son to achieve something? I would do anything for my mother. As your mother would do anything for you.
Children? Don't tell me that. I have two children. You know what I'll do for them to work for it?
You would kill for your children, wouldn't you?
And I
would tell you right now.
I would put them to work around the house. I would give them chores to do.
You're a soldier. You're a soldier. You can understand this. I would cut the eyes out of the skull of anyone that would hurt my children.
Oh, my God.
You're way off the issue here, man.
Well, they're hurting my child.
You're talking about your child getting this.
They're hurting my child by not letting him get this iPod that he wants.
Wait a minute.
Oh my God. Buy him the thing then. Make him do some work around the house.
He wanted to get it.
Teach him responsibility. Don't expect people in your community. And by the way, you know what? I walk out my door. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going either. And that comment on, I noted she was a Bush supporter. You know what?
Well,
I'm a Bush supporter. You noted it. Why did you note it? Does that make her the enemy?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I simply said I want to know where you're. I like my homeowners to check in with me. If you were leaving, I'd say, Richard, where are you going? And if you said to me, none of your business, then, of course, I've got to ask security to hold the gate closed.
Wait. Now, hold on.
You're going to trap me in our community?
I'm simply asking you, where are you going? I don't care.
Who cares? It's not your business. Because I bought...
What, are you going somewhere illegal?
If I could afford one of those houses, which obviously, you know, it's so, such an elaborate place in the military, I couldn't. But if I could, I'll be dang if I'm going to work that hard.
All I'm doing is I'm giving up the demerit.
To be locked in a place when I spend that much money on a house, to be locked in a place because one woman expects me to report to her.
But if you don't, then we give demerits to homeowners, which means that we have to talk about you at the next meeting.
Wait. So if I say, or if Richard says, we're going off to do volunteer work for the Bush campaign, do I get a demerit?
No, you don't. It's the fact that
we're Republicans.
It's suspicious to me, that's all.
Why is it suspicious?
Suspicious? He's our commander-in-chief. I'm going to support our commander-in-chief.
Everyone knows he's lied.
You're taking your personal beliefs.
As a member of our military, I would
think... Forcing them on your community.
No, I'm not. No, not at all.
Well, look, you're asking where are you going, where are you going, where are you going? Okay, I pull out, I say, where are you going? I'm going to commit murder.
Well, I know you were kidding.
Okay, well, what if I said, okay, Bobby, I'm going out and I'm going to go work for George Bush and Dick Cheney. In fact, I'm running as a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate.
It's something that I take note of. It's something that
Why would you take note of it? Because
it's unusual. It's unusual.
No, it's not.
How is that unusual? Why are you
running for a man who's lied about the war in Iraq?
Excuse me, ma'am, I work for him right now. You know, he's my commander-in-chief.
I appreciate your call, sir. I really do.
And you know what? I love the fact that you're in our army, and God bless you. I wish that you didn't have to go and fight in Iraq.
Whatever.
You say whatever.
All right. Look, thank you for calling, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Is this Mrs. Matthews?
Yes?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I would like to say to the lady, please, don't, you're wasting time.
No, I'm here for you. I'm listening
to
you.
No, you're not there for me. I'm calling Mr. Henry for you.
I want to be here for
you. You have not the slightest idea of what it means to be a president.
I understand.
You should have been arrested for breaking into that house.
Well, why?
You are just to make sure the streets are clean and the people next door are not doing
it.
Look, my husband was president two different times.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like this in my life.
Where do you live, dear?
That's none of your business.
You don't have to tell me.
You are a disgrace to the people who are in different organizations.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you fell or you hurt yourself in your home, how are we going to get to you?
Look, lady, I am over 21, and I have
been... Are you saying...
And I have been in the military with my husband all over the world. Don't tell me what I am like.
I bet you dialed in a rotary phone, didn't you? Yeah.
No, I did not. I did not.
Can I see something?
I'm living in a very exclusive neighborhood.
As I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
But you are teaching your son the wrong thing simple reason he is supposed to be selling the magazine, not you.
You said your husband...
And you're not supposed to be on the telephone.
I want to ask you something.
And
Who was Chester A. Arthur?
All right, now wait a minute, ladies, okay?
Well, she won't let me talk.
You've been talking all hour, Ms. Dooley. I want to hear from this lady. Now, Ms. Matthews?
Yes.
All right, you were an HOA, or your husband was HOA president.
But she
said he was.
She said he was president twice. Now, who was he? Franklin Roosevelt?
None of your business who he was.
Were you married to Franklin Roosevelt?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
You were married to Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you a riot?
He is really out of order.
No, I want to
First and foremost, Mr.
Mr. Hendry.
Mr. Hendry, first
and foremost. Is it still fashionable in your neighborhood?
I was a Girl Scout leader, and my children were not allowed to go knocking on doors without an adult with them.
By the way, don't forget to pull the plug on the switchboard when you hang up.
What? Would you let this lady finish, please?
I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm finished. She is wrong, and anybody listening to your station,
you live in a neighborhood where it is still fashionable for you to have lawn jockeys on your front lawn, and you're complaining about me. I find that really disingenuous. I really do.
Oh, you use big words.
How do you know she has lawn jockeys?
Well, I think it's safe to assume.
And to have her husband go there instead of the boy. The boy is supposed to be selling the magazine, not the family.
Can you ring that B for me?
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. He was making a joke.
Look, have your husband keep his snide comments.
I didn't hear his snide comments.
Well, he asked, did you have to pull a plug to disengage yourself from the switchboard, or are you calling on a regular phone?
No.
All right.
It happens to be I was trained to talk on the telephone,
which you were not.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
And by the way, my name's Bobby. Why does she get to be Mrs.?
Because I'm having some respect for the lady. Mrs. Matthews.
Yes.
Why can't I be Miss Dooley?
Because you're Bobby.
How come she gets to?
Because, you know, age has its privileges, as they say.
Well, I think that's so Nazi.
How did you happen to have her on the...
She's the president of a homeowners association.
I think it's very Nazi.
What country?
This person...
What country is she in?
Oh, my God, she wants to know what country we're in.
We're in Yugoslavia.
That's what I think. I really think it.
All right, listen, thank you all for joining us, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley.
It's been lovely.
Thank you, Mrs. Matthews.
Thank you, Phil, and I hope next time you have better callers.
Thank you. All right, this is Bobby and Steve Dooley on how they are helping their son Seth win a magazine drive. 1-800-449-8686 and how they're checking with their neighbors to make sure that they're not going anywhere they don't want them to go. Coming up tonight, Chef Carl Cedilia, Bob Baking and reporting from Pittsburgh, Paul Getty Lee calling in from Antarctica. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell and our mailbag. And don't forget, on October the 1st, we're broadcasting live from Salt Lake City. Excuse me. If I were Margaret, I'd say, I had chicken for lunch. Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, it's time now for the reading a poem without taking a breath competition. David, I just don't understand what the purpose of this is.
Look, it's just a promotion we're doing, okay? We got various listeners coming and reading a poem without taking a breath. What's your problem?
What's this got to do with anything?
We're giving away Bud Dickman keychains. What, you got an ego problem with that?
I think he does, Mr. I think you wish he had a keychain.
I got all kinds of merchandise. I don't need a stupid keychain.
Where are you doing, keychain?
Are you jealous?
Jealous of what?
If you're not jealous, you'll do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Do your dumb contest. Bring the guy in, will you?
Okay, here's a guy. His name's Mr. Newton Bell from Bellflower, California. Mr. Bell, come on in.
Hi, Phil. How you doing, Newton? Go ahead. Okay, what do you want me to do? read the poem without taking a breath. I guess that's the content.
Here, I'll do it. Hey, Newton, you're supposed to read the poem without taking a breath. If you do it the goodest, then you win a keychain.
When he says if you do it the goodest, he means if you do it the best.
Don't tell a retard what to say, okay? Kid's doing the best he can.
All right. Mr. What is it?
My name's Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell, go ahead.
My poem is called Trees. It's by Joyce Kilmer. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet earth's flowing breast is a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair upon whose bosom snow has fallen.
He blows.
Can I try it again?
Get out of here.
No, please don't. Oh!
Why'd you hit that guy?
He didn't do it good enough.
Yeah, he sucked.
So you smack him?
That's the contest.
Yeah, you're supposed to read it or we'll belt you.
So if the guy doesn't if the guy can't do it without taking a breath and has to breathe, you belt him?
Yeah, that's the contest.
Right. We'll kick your ass if you can't do it. But the other side is, you'll win a keychain. Bring in the next contestant.
Okay, come on in.
Yeah, my name is Bill Shepherd, and Mr. Henry is very pleased to meet you, and I want to read the same poem.
Go ahead.
I think that I should never see a tree that... Oh, I ran out of breath.
Get out of here! Ow!
Now kick his ass good, bud.
Thinking...
See, we kick your ass if you don't do it.
Are you guys done?
That's all that we have today.
That's our promotion. See you next week, folks.
What an idiot. Read a poem, take a breath, get your ass kicked, but on the other end, you could win a Bud Dickman keychain. Phil Henry Show coming back with Chef Carl Cedilia and Paul Getty Lee calling in from Antarctica. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Chef Carl Cedilia Show.
Hey, everybody, welcome. This is Chef Carl Cedilia, and today we're going to learn how to make something. You know, I'll tell you something. Here on the Phil Hendry Show, I love having my cooking center. We make such wonderful food, don't we? Well, today we're going to make something that I used to call in the... I'm sure you know is chipped beef on toast. You know, I'm probably... I've had the chipped beef on toast, but when I was in the military, we used to call it... When I was in the military, we used to call it... on a shingle. Anyway. So today we're going to teach you how to make on a shingle, and I'll tell you right now, you're going to have to get yourself some chipped beef, and you want to get yourself some toast, and you can also get a variety of that you can find just about anywhere. So why don't we all just chip in, if you will, and we're going to make on a shingle in just a moment.
Chef Carl Cedilia will be right back. Get Chef Carl Cedilia's book, 15 Recipes for the Holiday Season, a redundant and repetitive book of recipes that he's stolen from food sections of major American newspapers for 30 years. Yes, 15 Recipes for the Holiday Season can be ordered simply by picking up your phone, calling our toll-free number, and saying, "Hi, I'm a dumbass who wants to buy the 15 Recipes book." That's right, another crap book from Chef Carl Cedilia. 15 Recipes for the Holiday Season, guaranteed to bore your family to tears this Thanksgiving Christmas.
Hey, I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. You want to know how to make breadcrumb stuffing, cranberry sauce, and the very exotic mashed potatoes? They're all about book, 15 Recipes for the Holiday Season. I sure hope you buy it. Okay, everybody, welcome back. Now, we're going to make on a shingle. Now, here's what you need to do to make on a shingle. You want to go out and find a big lump of monkey, and then you stir it right into the bowl. You know what's really good to use? Go out and find a big lump of monkey, and then get yourself a big wad of, like, camel. All right? Then you stir all that into the bowl, and then go on out and find a big wad of dog. Okay, and then, after you've done that, what I want you to do is put it in the oven and bake all that together, and then eat it, and it's going to taste like... All right.
What a retard. What a retard. Chef Carl Chedilia, make sure you go on out and get yourself some of that on a shingle. And it's going to taste like when you eat it. Chef Carl Chedilia, hey, that 15 recipes for Thanksgiving, doesn't that sound great? Yeah, the very exotic mashed potatoes. I tell you, my wife makes one hell of a stuffing. She uses walnuts, she uses wild rice, she uses, and it tastes great. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I was just talking to Chris about communication. This is apropos of nothing, but I don't know, how did we get on the subject of being fired? And in this business, radio, believe me, there's an old saying, there are two kinds of people in the radio business, those that have been fired and those that will be fired. So I guess that means Al Franken's in the second group, huh?
Yeah, we were talking about people we didn't like.
Yeah, and so this cat that I worked for in Minnesota, he calls me to the office one. Now, understand, I'm up in Minneapolis. I haven't been there more than 5 months. And I'm working for a general manager there who obviously doesn't get what are you doing? You're doing voices at night? Yes, I was on late at night. And he didn't understand. I'm on this old station. So he calls me into the office one day and says, now, have you ever been in a situation where you honestly don't know what the guy's saying and he thinks you're screwing with him? Or he thinks you're with him? So he says to me, did you say Effenheimer on the air the other day? I go, what? Did you say the Effenheimer? I go, what do you mean by, and I asked him, what do you mean by Effenheimer? You know. What, are you messing with me? No, man, I don't know what you mean, Effenheimer. What does that mean, Effenheimer? So you know what I'm talking about. No, I honestly don't know what you mean, man. What do you mean by Effen? You know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean by what does Effenheimer mean? You know exactly what I mean. This went around for 20 minutes before Effenheimer is a euphemism for the F word. I said, I most certainly did not. Well, I heard you used Effenheimer. Look, can we just use the word? Why don't you just scream it out? You want to say, don't you? Anyway, enough with the beep tone, okay? We can have fun with, hi, my name is Hendry. Woo-hoo. Well, look, man, if you want to say a word, you better say it, because I don't know what you mean by Effenheimer. I never heard of Effenheimer. This must be some screwy, corny, weird Minnesota thing, dude. I don't, you know, no sprechen Sie Deutsch, baby. You dig? I'm Jewish. What do you mean by that? What? I don't mean anything by that. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, some kind of a kraut thing? No, man, what's Effenheimer? That sounds kraut to me. Aha, so you're calling me some kind of a turncoat Jew? Some kind of one of those ghetto police, huh? No! What do you mean by that? Man, so I'm completely, have you ever had a conversation like that? Sometimes my wife and I have had a conversation. I go, honey, I don't know, what are you talking about? Now, when I say that to her, she'll look at me defensively like, oh, he thinks I'm stupid. And the next thing you know, we're completely at loggerheads. She'll say, this lady over here, we'll be in a crowd. She'll look like this gal over here with her hair. What gal? Right here. Well, which one? I don't know what you mean. Well, never mind. Well, no. Who do you talk? What? Not never mind. Who are you talking about? Yeah, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. Well, point to her. I don't point. Well, then I don't know who you're referring to. I told you the gal with the hair. The gal with the hair. There's at least 15 women over there with hair. Oh, so now you're calling me stupid? No, I'm not calling you stupid. Unless you're seeing it from her perspective, which I can understand. I'm kind of a judgmental guy. I must be a hard guy to live with. Well, I hope I am. I mean, I'm a hard guy to be around, and she has, I think she's put up with a lot. In other words, the reason why I'm on here this evening, folks, is to say, I love my wife. I love her a lot. Let me tell you a little bit about my beautiful, beautiful wife. I'm going to tell you her name, and of course, every time you hear her name on this show, you're going to hear a certain effect. You're going to hear a certain effect played as my engineer tries to dial it up. So when you hear me say the word Maria, you're going to hear that. Yeah, she's a beauty. She's put up with a lot of crap for me. Of course, now that I think about it, I've provided Maria with a damn good life. Yeah, the money I've made and the money I've spent on Maria, I could have rebuilt Iraq 5 times. She's a real ball breaker. Maria. That's my son Christopher on the B3 Hammond there. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up this hour, Paul Getty Lee talks to us from Antarctica. Tomorrow night, it's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we'll be taking a look at Phil's mailbag. And if you'd like to email us, you can do that at phs@philhendryshow.com. phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Do we have Antarctica? This is crazy, man. I have never talked to Antarctica before. And I want to talk to Mr. Paul Lee. Paul?
This is Paul Lee.
Paul, how are you?
Well, everything is as good as we expected, Phil.
And can you tell me about living for 30 days by yourself at the weather station you're at in Antarctica?
Well, it has been a challenge. We're just going to try it. Pardon.
Okay, I can't hear what he's saying. Can you tell me what it's like living 30 days by yourself?
Well, it's a California thing. On a bowl of smut.
Are you in a... Where are you, sir?
Hold on.
If I'm not understanding anything you're saying. Are you suffering any effects? Are you okay?
Well, I want to tell them... slept with her mother.
What?
My wife had sex with her mother.
Your wife had sex with your mother?
Nope. I did.
Why are you telling me that?
I'm a dead man.
All right, now I'm hearing that. Get him off the air. What is this? Is the guy broadcasting from freaking the basement at Macy's? I'm talking to a guy in Antarctica. I'm a dead man. I had sex with her mother. What in the hell? These guys that go to Antarctica are some kind of a... Man, they're weird. They're real different. Yes, Commander Perry made it all the way down to the South Pole. Whoopee! You know, we have... Here's the thing about the Earth. We haven't even mastered the Earth. What the hell do we want to land on Mars for? There's been like 800 guys that have gone to the South Pole. That's a part of the planet that we can't even exist on. We go down there, and a lady's got to operate on herself. That's how... Do you understand that a woman had to give herself a breast surgery? Because that's pretty rough, man. When you go to a place that was discovered and hopefully has been, at least to some degree, conquered by man, you go to a place and it's so remote and it's so out of the way and it's so like being on the moon that when you got to have surgery, you might as well just operate on yourself. So my wife says to me, get this, she says, do you know there's a tour company that goes to really exotic places? And I said, no, I didn't know that. She said, yeah, I just read about it. And they will take you around the world. You can visit Easter Island. You can visit, what are the most far-out places on the planet? Like, Easter Island is one. I would dig to go to Easter Island. My idea is to go and do a radio broadcast from Easter Island. And then I realized, big wow, I could say I'm on Easter Island. You know, I'm at Easter Island right now. What difference does it make? We'll send you to Easter Island, and you'll broadcast from there, Phil. What do you think? Or we could say we're on Easter Island and broadcast from Sherman Oaks. Okay, great. And then they take you to these underground Coptic churches in Ethiopia. And then they take you to the Sphinx and all of that jazz. And it's like 45 G's a person. And it's a three to six weeks, something like that. Then they have another trip that takes you to Antarctica. Have you heard of this, Mark? Oh, you only fly over it. Oh, that sucks. It's $45,000. How the hell is 45 G's worth just flying over it in a plane? Can't a regular airliner do that? So you fly over it, you look down, you see a few penguins. The penguins look up at you and go, yeah, there they are again. Man, they're flying around, but they don't land, you know. And then you fly back and you sit down and you tell all your friends that you went to. And then there's also the, you know, you can go to the Kalahari Desert, which is someplace. There's the North Pole. There's the, then you go visit the lockdown, all of these goofy things. And they fly you in a private chartered jet. You have a first class seat. You stay only in first class accommodations where they're available, but if not, they pitch. I guess they have all these guys that walk around with all your baggage on their heads, and they pitch all these elaborate tents, just like in those old Ramar of the Jungle movies, you know. I make lady very comfortable. Thank you very much, Kenji. This is beautiful out here. You know, when they made that movie African Queen, you ever heard of that movie? See, this is a movie, and a lot of you guys maybe haven't heard about it, but African Queen was a movie they made in 1950, and they went down into Africa, and they made it. Now, in 1950, going to Africa to make a movie, it ain't like today, where they had film commissions, and there's a guy to meet you at the airport with a big grinning face, and he's, thank you very much for spending money in our country, you know, it's going to be beautiful. And, you know, it was split 50-50. We'll put the Starbucks concession, okay? Yeah, that's great. Just show me where the canteen is. Back then, you had to go down there, and so anyway, this guy John Huston made this movie, African Queen, and he had to go down into the jungle and make this movie. I forgot why I was telling the story. Oh, yeah, anyway, so then comes down, after they get everything set up, and they had a, oh, and they made it in a real native village. If you ever see the movie African Queen, you see the native village? That's the real village. They made it in a real village, and I guess they talked the natives into being in the movie. I've never been able to understand how that works, you know, where you, all right. We're going to be in a movie. Yeah, I get it. We had five companies through here last year. All right, great. But act native. I am native. Okay. And they're all, woo! Yeah. Just like in King Kong. You remember all the natives in King Kong? Who were the poor actors working for freaking scale on that? Oh, they didn't have SAG then. How are you? I'm very good. Great. Okay, so we're going to put you in a big fright wig and a bush skirt. Yeah, I get the drill. Well, what are you all pissed off about? Well, look at, man, my people have had to take these cheese-ass roles for years, okay? But surprised you don't want me to play King Kong, too. Ah, cop in an attitude, huh? You're lucky you got a job, man. I could have put a white guy in blackface and do the job. Whatever, dude. All right, what you do is you run around with the kid, and you go, as King Kong, and then he squishes you. Uh-huh. Anything else, man? Well, this is a pretty heavy seat. Yeah, I know. Well, I'll fall back on my Stanislavski training, okay? Wise ass. So then they go down to the jungle, and before they get down there, they set everything. So by the time the movie stars got there, like, who the hell was it? Humphrey Bogart? Oh, man, they're living large. They got all these sweet-looking tents. What they do in Africa is they have what they call a lodge. You sort of sleep halfway indoors and halfway outdoors. It's something else, man. And you can also go on these photographic safaris where they pitch these beautiful lodge-style tents is the only way I can describe it. And you're, like, sleeping outdoors, but you've got a full mosquito netting. And they've got the breakfast already and the dinner already. And there's guys walking around there with the boxes on their heads, and they're wearing shorts with the hard shoes, you know. And you know those kind of cats. They're the local guys. And, okay, everything's ready, man. Soup's on. Woo! Yeah, come on. Thank you. Are you a local native? Sure. Actually, I'm from New York, but darker than most. They said I could work this gig. I say the word Buana really good. You know, all the Jungle Word movies. Okay. So you go in there, and now you're done. So anyway, he made this movie, and there's Catherine Hepburn all, I just love shooting here in Africa because the people are so... Yeah, great. You didn't have to set the tents up, man, running the risk of yellow fever. Anyway, the long story short is this. John Huston and Humphrey Bogart and some of the other actors and crew members, they were fine with the dysentery thing, right? Because they were drinking whiskey, and they were drinking large amounts of distilled spirits, which there is an argument for doing that when you are in a country that doesn't have purified water. I never get sick in Mexico because I'm down in that tequila morning, noon, and night. But poor Catherine Hepburn, may she rest in peace, had the squirts from Africa all the way back up to New York. They had to unload the plane septic tank five times over the Atlantic because of her. Because she was drinking that lousy water they had, and next thing you know, it's, you know, Humphrey and I... Pardon me for just a moment. But Bogart, because he's such a lush, he didn't get anything, man. Of course, he did die of lung cancer, but what's that between friends? So now you know all about that stupid movie. Anyway, how'd we get on this, man? I was talking about jungle movies and stuff. 1-8... Huh?
Is that
exotic places to go. So anyway, you got to take this trip down to Antarctica, fly over, the penguins will flip you off with their fins, and then you fly back. It's not a very hospitable place, I don't think. 1-800-449-8686 here at the Phil Hendry Show. And we'll have Bob Bakian reporting from Pittsburgh in a moment. He's got something going on down there. Apparently there was a story, and we asked him to go check it out, where two guys were cited for DUI riding horses. And there was a large Supreme Court case as to whether or not a horse constitutes a vehicle. And if it is a vehicle, you can be cited for operating a vehicle under the influence. But if it's just a horse, well, dig that. You can't get busted for anything. You can just stand up there on the horse, stand right on the saddle, drunk as hell, and you could pretend you were freaking Annie Oakley for all they care. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell will be with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills in our mailbag. Salt Lake City, we're coming to see you guys on October the 1st, live broadcast there. And if you go to our website at www.philhenryshow.com and visit our souvenir shop, you'll pick up the Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. What a great way to say, vote for me or I'll sue you. That's right, Steve Bozell for President 2004, vote for me or I'll sue you. It's the new way to get elected president. Just sue everybody that doesn't vote for you. It's available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we have Jay Santos from our show yesterday. He is the with the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the election debates, the presidential debates. And if you watch them and you go into work acting all smart about politics, you may be influencing workplace violence. In other words, he says to limit the smartass factor. In any event, before we do that, I want to go to Bob Bakian, who is live over the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight, where a landmark Supreme Court case has come down. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and you're absolutely right. Live here from over the Supreme Court building in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where final ruling has come down on a landmark case that has the entire nation in stitches. The judges have ruled in this case of two gentlemen who were arrested on horseback who had been inebriated whether or not a horse is a vehicle. And the judges have ruled that a horse is not a vehicle, and so therefore those two men who were arrested for riding, I guess you could say, under the influence, are not guilty of DUI, but in point of fact, we're not doing anything illegal at all. So as the court case stands now, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania has ruled that a horse is not a vehicle. So, Phil, it's true. A horse is a horse, of course, not a bus or a car. It's straight from the source. The judges in Pittsburgh have ruled, of course, unless it's Mr. Ed. I'm Bob Bakian from the Phil Hendry Show.
That's nice. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, hold on for a minute. Yeah, David?
Why don't you get him under control?
Get who?
Bakian.
Look at man, that was it.
No, don't get tell me, that wasn't an ad lib, he wrote that.
Do we gotta do this on the air?
Look, it came out on the air, how could it be more embarrassing me telling you about it? That what that guy just did embarrassed you enough, nothing I could do would embarrass you more. What he just did?
Oh, look at it, he was trying to be cute.
Well, it wasn't funny, wasn't it? Get him under control. He's a newsman.
He did a little thing about a horse is a horse.
I heard it. What does he think this is? Good Morning America? You think he's freaking that? What is that guy that stands up there, that skinny black guy? What's his name?
Spencer What's-His-Ass?
Yeah, him. Spencer What's-His-Ass. Jesus, Spencer What's-His-Ass.
What's the guy's name on ABC?
That's Chris.
I am. What's that guy that's the skinny black guy? Spencer Tillman?
Spencer Tillman? Guy's a football player.
All right. I don't know, but in any event,
look, just get that guy under control. A horse is a horse. Isn't that cute? What does he think? He's doing a kicker on the nightly news?
Al Roker.
That's it, Al Roker.
What do you mean the skinny black guy on ABC is Al Roker?
That's who it is. I look it up.
Bud knows.
No, he does not. Al Roker's a fat tub of guts.
No, he didn't. He went on a diet.
Yeah, he went on a diet. Now he's skinny on ABC.
Bull crap. The skinny...
Come on, Phil.
No, the skinny black guy on ABC. What's that guy's name? Is he there anymore? He's probably not there anymore.
Well, you're really up on things, aren't you? Hey, here's a real cultural touch point for all you folks. The skinny black guy in the ABC weather. It's Al Roker.
It ain't Al Roker. He's a fat guy on NBC.
No, it's Al Roker.
It's Al Roker. Now look, get that newsman under control. The comedy is supposed to be done by you. But, of course, that's been a little thin lately. And
well, if it's been thin, then how about Bakian doing his horse as a horse?
Because it sucks. It sucks on wheels, and you know it. I gotta get Al Roker, that skinny black guy, to do it.
Yeah, okay, man. You go get skinny Al Roker.
Yeah, it's Al Roker.
Shut up.
Oh, talking to the card, huh?
Just... In other news, Elton John today was ripped to shreds by a mob in Taiwan after he referred to Taiwan photographers as rude, vile pigs. As the crowd tore Mr. John to shreds, they tossed his body parts in the air saying, "Why don't you get out of Taiwan, you queer?" Now, apparently, Sir Elton John warmed up his vocal cords for a concert Thursday in Taiwan by telling the Chinese photographers, "They're a bunch of rude, vile pigs." The media ambushed the rock star after he arrived by private plane Thursday, shortly after midnight at Taipei's Chiang Kai-shek airport. He was angry that police allegedly didn't properly restrain the pack and protect him from the ensuing chaos. He was dressed in a royal blue tracksuit and matching sunglasses. Well, there you go. That's why they mob you, dude. I mean, you were just absolutely charming in that tracksuit with blue sunglasses, so they just had to get around you and get a picture of that, because they might not ever see anything like that again. The fuming star was shown clenching his teeth and muttering expletives as he stood with his arms across his chest. He said, "Rude, vile pigs." He shouted this to the photographers. "Do you know what that means, rude, vile pigs? That's what you all are." So then one of the photographers shouted back, "Why don't you get out of Taiwan?" And he said, "We'd love to get out of Taiwan if it's full of people like you, pig, pig." The star, who recently performed in Shanghai and Hong Kong, said, "We had a great tour of the Far East, and then we come to Taiwan and it's expletive. Then we come to Taiwan and it's, you know, beep." John's statement said, despite this frightening arrival, his spirits remained high and he's looking forward to performing at the concert. Now, you gotta understand something, man. In the Far East, you know that was the place where the Beatles almost got their heads cut off because they told the president of the Philippines, "Why don't you pound it up your rear end sideways? We don't want to meet you." I know what it was. The president of the Philippines at the time, some jackass named Marcos, he said he wanted the Beatles to come and meet his wife, Imelda, and the Beatles said, "No, thank you." So they almost ran that. They almost killed him. You go down to that part of the world, there's a whole... It isn't that they're uncivilized. They've just got a whole different definition of civilization, which is if you're rude, they cut your tongue out, and then they hang you upside down and gut you like a steer and use your innards for some of that morning after soup that they eat down in Mexico. What's that? Menudo. That's what they do. You got to watch the way you act in certain parts of the world, sports fan. If you don't... See, I don't disagree with Mr. John. Mr. John. Spencer Christian was on Good Morning America, I just found out. He ain't there anymore, is he? He is? Okay, see, I am. So, anyway, so what they did was... They said, "Why don't you take your wife and your whole country and pound it?" And they almost gutted these guys. You gotta watch. You go to certain parts of the world, you gotta watch how you act. It's their country, man. They got a different, whole different way of doing things. And the British, let me tell you something. With the greatest of respect to my very good friends, the British, who I happen to have a great deal of admiration for, I was in China in 1982, and I was in Beijing, China, when a group of British tourists came through. Now, I was there with a bunch of Americans and Canadians, and we were riding our bikes. We were on 10-speed bikes. These Brits come through in a tour bus, and they were a real pain in the you-know-what. They were rude, they were loud, they were stupid, they were ignorant. The old bag that was leading them, she didn't like the fact they didn't have the right kind of hangers, and she didn't like the fact that the room smelled like the sewer, and this and that. And, you know, they're in China, man. They don't exactly have the four-star, you know, they don't have Four Seasons in there yet. And she's bellyaching, and this poor Chinese guy is standing there trying to deal with all of this, right? Like, this chick, I don't know what she was reading in the newspaper when she booked this trip, but she thought she was going to go to the Far East, and she's going to be sitting there like the Empress of China with a little Chihuahua dog in her lap or something, huh? Well, they fed her serpent soup, and she sat on some one of those boats with a swan on the bow. One of them boats with the square sails, and she was going to be fed, you know, by hand, 1,000-year-old egg soup. Instead, they stuck her in a bunk. The toilet smells like a sewer. And they said, look, you old bag, complain anymore, and you're going to wind up where all of the rest of Mao's enemies wound up. And she went, thank you. All right, now we got Jay Santos from yesterday's show. Jay was on to talk about the fact that during the debates, when you see the debates, don't go into the office afterwards and go, ah, now I got the whole election figured out. He calls it the smart-ass quotient. Nothing inspires workplace or domestic violence more than the smarty pants option. Let's listen to Jay Santos.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is not for real. I mean, come on. I mean, hitting your wife over this. This doesn't. I
don't know if you vote, sir, but politics is very important to me and to anybody.
Yeah, but I don't know what workplace. I don't know what workplace you work in, because to me, I can carry on a civilized conversation. I mean, the only smartasses are the people that write books, and they're the ones that think they know it all.
Wait a minute.
To me, you have a problem with a female or anybody having an opinion because you're not
smart
enough to keep up with the purpose.
Where do you work?
I work in Nashville. I'm in the mortgage business.
All right. The mortgage business is the mortgage business. Now you get some smartass coming in. He's talking politics. What's that got to do with it?
So you're telling me just because I'm in the mortgage business, I don't know anything else?
No. You think you know a lot, but all you've been able to do is call me names, see? See, so that doesn't speak very much to your intellectual ability.
Well, I'm sorry I haven't written a book, and I haven't beaten my wife just because she disagreed with my opinion. You know, last time I checked, women have a right in this world, and they don't have to be at home doing laundry and keep taking care of the kids. That can be a man's role as well. And if my wife has an opinion, and she does, she's an attorney, and she's a very smart. Obviously, you couldn't spend 5 minutes with her.
See, he's stepping over the line now.
Well, how am I stepping over the line? You hit a female.
What do you mean he's stepping over the line?
Why did you drive a line? He hit a woman.
Well, no, you're stepping all. Now you're starting to talk all about how women's rights and all, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I speaking to something you don't understand again? Because obviously you don't understand much.
Well, let me tell you something.
Go ahead. Yeah, tell me. I'm interested.
I don't know where you work.
Go ahead.
I don't know where you work, but all I'm saying is,
you don't come throw a Coca-Cola at me, Cam? Come on.
Are you trying to tell me you're in the mortgage business and you're wasting your boss's time and money by sitting around telling everybody about George Bush and all that nonsense?
Actually, I am the boss, and I would be wasting my own money. And I didn't say anything about George Bush or John Kerry, but I can guarantee you one thing. If I didn't know who I was voting for, I would vote for Bush just because of you. But I obviously am a little bit more intelligent than
that. See,
that's
the whole thing. So you're the kind of guy that would step over the line, and you would provoke me into some kind of a violent response, which I don't want to have.
That's your issue. That is your issue.
My
this
issue.
Is no more
I'm going to work today. I want to do my job at the utility plant where I work as security, and you come in and you're going on about the debates. So I come up to you and I say, hey, Kyle, what do you know about it? You're all this, that, this, and that. And you are you asking for me to go and find a large wrench and hit you over the head with it?
Dude, then you got issues, because that's ridiculous. I can sit there. I have a guy that works for me in my office that's an Alabama fan, and I'm a Tennessee fan. Does that mean I'm going to fire him and beat him just because he says Roll Tide? You know, other people in this country can
what
have opinions.
Why should he say that?
Your issue is you don't sound intelligent enough that every time somebody has an opinion that you don't understand, you sit there and take a wrench to them.
Is that the way, Mr. Santos, if I could jump in?
Says he's got a guy in his office. He's a Tennessee fan, and he's an Alabama fan. Guy comes right up to his face, right 2 inches from his nose, and says, Roll Tide. And that guy's going to take it? Is that what you're saying to me?
Hey, trust me. Trust me. That's a lot more important than politics in these parts.
Well, I can tell you, sir, we know who wears the dress in your family. You
couldn't hang 5 minutes with my wife, my friend.
We know who wears the culottes in your family. I'll tell you that.
Well, see, Jay.
Yeah? I mean.
No, you know what your problem is? You live in the 1950s. I don't have a problem saying that my wife can think and I have a 50-50 relationship.
I want the caller to hear what I've got, Phil, because I knew that. What's your wife's name, Butch? No.
All right, let's stop with the insults, okay, gentlemen? Now, what did you want to hear?
I want this gentleman to hear. This is a tape that I rolled the night that Cindy and I had our argument, and it was right after this that I wrote the book.
Now, what were we hearing?
That was Cindy going through the back door.
I'm surprised Cindy's still with you.
So, sir, you know, if you you want to hear yourself doing that,
Get out of here. All right.
Bill,
yes, sir.
Bill,
yeah.
Very nice show.
Thanks. Thank you very much for calling.
Way to keep it entertaining to have a loony on like this guy.
You know something? You can call me all the names you want, sir. Roll Tide.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I like the fact he was rolling tape the night he threw his wife across the hardwood floor. Let me just roll tape on this, honey. Okay. It's Phil Henry Show, 1-800-4... Why are you looking at me?
I want to ask you a question.
What?
Are you going to watch football on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to watch football.
Can I come over?
Yeah, I guess, if you want to come over.
That's great. I just want to watch football.
Yeah, you can come on over if you want to, bud.
Can I ask you one more thing?
What?
Can I bring a friend of mine?
Who?
It's just a girlfriend.
Yeah, sure, man. My wife's going to be there. Kids will be there. That's fine.
Okay, great. So I can bring a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Just one more thing.
What? I got to finish.
No, just one more thing.
Okay, what?
Can you pick us up?
Can I pick the two of you up?
Yeah.
And bring you over to my house to watch football with me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
All right.
But you also have to drop us off, too.
All right, so I'm picking you and your girlfriend up, bringing you over to the house, watch football, and then I got to take you home and drop you off. Is that it?
Well, yeah, but that's all.
Okay, fine, I'll do that, bud.
What are you going to have to eat?
I don't know, man. What do you want to eat?
Well, can you pick up some chips?
Okay, I'll pick up a bag of chips. What else? Anything else? Dip?
Yeah, get some dip, some chips, get some cheese, too. Cheeses. There's an assortment of cheeses.
Chips, dip, and an assortment of cheeses.
Great. Also some greenies.
Oh, well, let me get you some beers, too.
Well, I like greenies.
Sure you do. I know you love my beer. You love it when I buy the 24-pack of Heineken. How about if you do that?
Forget it. No wonder you're lonely. No wonder nobody comes to your house. You're so lonely.
Yeah, that's it, bud, man. I'm just so in need of people.
Can I smoke in your house?
No, you may not.
What a fascist.
1-800-449-8686. Tell you something, man. You really push it, you know?
Yeah, you're such a Nazi.
Look, you're asking me to pick you up.
Can I swim in your waterbed?
Can you swim in my waterbed?
Yeah, I guess the answer to that's no, too.
No, go ahead. Try it. Swim in my waterbed. What a moron. Be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So the football on Sunday, speaking of that, bud, Arizona at Atlanta. Boy, the Falcons are sweet. The Falcons are doing so good. They're 2-0. And Coach Jags emailed me. He's excited. Meanwhile, Green Bay sucks. So the Falcons are hosting the Arizona Cardinals, as they like to say. And now that's going to be a ball game between... I like the Falcons because Jags is there. Michael Vick is there. And even though Atlanta isn't going to win a Super Bowl, because as I've said so many times, no team wins a Super Bowl with one of these scrambling rollout quarterbacks. It ain't going to happen, baby. If the number one rusher you got is your quarterback, you've got some serious problems. I know they're 2-0. Everything's, you know, it's all good. Great. Fine. Super. I hope it continues. I'm just telling you, if you're relying on your quarterback to get you the yards on the ground, how many yards did he have in a game last week throwing a ball? 46 or something? I'm asking the wrong guy here. Chris Pelton's looking at me like, what? No, I don't know. I should look it up. Then we got Chicago at Minnesota. Chicago's looking pretty good. Minnesota, did they lose? I think they did. Where are they? Minnesota sucks. Ever since they got rid of old Denny Green. Did I say that I'm a Denny Green fan? Okay, they're 1-1, so they blow. Houston is at Kansas City. Kansas City sucks. But then so is Houston. New Orleans at St. Louis. Ooh, man. St. Louis, forget it. That's going to be a New Orleans win. Pittsburgh at Miami, terrible game. Green Bay at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, go Colts in that one. Tampa Bay at Oakland. Go Bucks. Oh, God, would I love to see Tampa Bay go up there and smack the freaking Raiders around. That would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I know we're on in Tampa. We're on in San Francisco. As much as I love the Bay Area, which one I ain't saying. No, I dig all of, you know, the whole thing is fantastic, but I'm so sick of the Raiders I could vomit. And, of course, the Bucks will be seeing their old buddy, fat-ass Sapp, so that'll be interesting. San Francisco at Seattle. All the rest of the games stink. San Diego, Denver, go Broncos. And like that. Coming up tomorrow, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in our mailbag. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.